In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brethren in Christ, Christ is in our midst. Since two divine liturgies cannot be celebrated on the same day, that is this divine liturgy which we now celebrate, and a vesperal liturgy which is supposed to be celebrated tonight on the eve of the feast of the Transfiguration, if it falls in a different day. Grapes, and you see them, grapes will be blessed today at the end of the Divine Liturgy. And grapes are blessed on the Transfiguration Day because they indicate physical and spiritual transformation. Take a vine, and you see, first it sheds its leaves, then comes a sprout, and after this a sour grape, then a ripe bunch. Therefore, there is a transformation of sprouts into fruits, and then this transformation of a fruit into wine. Today we are reminded that all mature fruits, and especially grapes, represent a new season and a new life cycle. Mature fruits are blessed in thanksgiving for a good harvest, and the good harvest is God's gift to us. In every divine liturgy, every Sunday, we experience also a spiritual transformation of the wine into the body and blood of, into the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is the meaning of the blessing of grapes. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you could do nothing." Therefore, the rubrics of the church, the typikon of the church, blessing of grapes is ordered at the Feast of Transfiguration, which is most properly should be called metamorphosis and not transfiguration. When Jesus took his three disciples with him to Mount Tabor, he took Peter, John, and James. And this is also another mistake in English. He should not be called James, he should be called Jacob, because the Latin of James is Johannes or Ioannis in Greek, or Hebrew Yohanan or Yohanna in Arabic. So you cannot say anymore James. He's not James, he's Jacob. And this is very important. So in front of the three, he revealed his divine glory to them before his passion, crucifixion, and resurrection. He took the three who were elevated above the rest of the disciples: Peter by his exceeding love to Jesus, John by being exceedingly loved by Jesus, and Jacob, or James as you know him, by his ready response to his brother, "We are able to drink the cup," and by his word, he showed that he could do that. Jesus was transfigured to manifest the glory of the cross, to console the disciples in the dread of passion, and to bring their minds to elevated understanding, and to show that he died willingly. Those who went up with him were chosen to speak of the glory which he was to accomplish in Jerusalem, of his passion and the glory of the cross. And not only did Jesus elevate their understanding, but also he brought their virtues, and especially their courage, to a higher level, so they could meet the requirements expected of them in the midst of adverse situations. Also we have Moses and Elijah, or Elias. Moses represents the law and Elias represents the prophets. Both appeared with him because they were ready to die for God's sake. They both spoke boldly to tyrants. Moses to the Egyptian, Elias to Ahab. They were brought into extreme danger by the very persons who were saved by them. By their struggles, they led people away from idolatry and brought them into the worship of the real God. However, both Moses and Elias were only servants, while Jesus is the Son of God. And that's why the voice from the Father in heaven proclaimed, saying, "This is my beloved Son." Moses and Elias were dear to the God the Father, but Jesus is the beloved Son. Hear him therefore. By Jesus' transfiguration, the apostles were accounted worthy to strive with to win the prize of Christ as they struggled to establish the life of angels on earth and to wrestle with spiritual and moral wickedness. Facing throughout their lives the wickedness of the evil one, they realized that the devil never comes out except by prayer and fasting. Although Saint Paul himself was not one of the 12, neither one of the 12 nor one of the 3 disciples, and did not go up to Mount Tabor to see the glory of Christ, he received an identical experience on his way to Damascus, in a place today is called Tal Kawkab, where our patriarchate has built a monastery of the revelation and erected a huge statue of Saint Paul. Rightly after the revelation of Christ to him, Paul had a life-changing experience, and in seeing the glory of God, he became the preacher of all nations, facing terrible hostility, resentment, and aggression. And throughout history, the world watches Paul to follow his example, and the angels marvel at the apostles' fortitude. In his epistle today, Paul, in a unique way, addressed his parishioners who were living in a sin city. Corinth was the sin city of that time. And from the things by which he puts himself down, he shows how great he is. And from the things that make the Corinthians proud, he displays their littleness. The Corinthians rejoiced in the apostles' afflictions, while others offered no help. But he showed them that he is enduring suffering and affliction without despair. On the contrary, he is full of rejoicing, and he proves it by returning good for the evil he receives. And he commanded us to bear insults meekly, both so that we may grow in virtues ourselves, and yet we might put our adversaries to shame. This morning, he is provoking us to consider that we should zealously seek to emulate him and the apostles in facing the dangers, the indignities, not in earthly honors and glories. It is the indignities, not the glories, that the gospel requires from all of us. Brethren in Christ, remember that the apostles heard on Mount Tabor a voice from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am pleased, listen to him." Brethren, listen to the beloved Son without hesitation. He is the truth and the life. Listen to him in the difficulties of your daily lives. Listen to him, because by his blood he redeemed you. Listen to him, for he opened to you the way to heaven, and by the pain of the cross prepares for you the steps of ascent into the kingdom. It was before these who ascended in their presence that Jesus was transfigured, not to those who remained below here on earth. Saint Ephrem the Syrian chanted in one of his poets saying, "The Lord who is beyond measure measures out nourishment to all, adapting to our eyes the sight of himself, to our hearing his voice, his blessing to our appetite, his wisdom to our tongue." In this fourth feast of the Transfiguration, we are reminded that we are no longer the children of darkness or night, but have become the children of the day. We walk honestly as in the day. Let us be attentive. Let us awake. Let us lie not forever on the ground. Let not the thoughts draw our souls toward the earth. Arise and go up to the high slope of his ascent. And if you do so, you will be able to face all the indignities of this life, and nothing will be impossible to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.